Task B1 to B10. You will hear Stephen Pine talking about his experience travelling to the Antarctic. For questions B1 to B10, complete the sentences by writing a word or a phrase that you hear, no more than 17 characters, in the spaces provided. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 45 seconds to look at the questions.
Now we are ready to start.
I'd never intended to go to the end of nowhere. I guess, even by Antarctic standards, the ice exploration camp that is known as Dome C was at the back of beyond. Standing on about 3,500 meters of ice, it has the pleasure of being one of the coldest places on Earth. And when I say cold, I mean cold. The average daily temperature is minus 50, but as Dome C is the heart of the Antarctic, I knew I'd end up there one day. After a trip to the National Science Foundation, where I pleaded my case to get funding, and then a layover at the pole, where I had a couple of days to get used to the high elevation, I arrived at Dome C on New Year's Eve 1981. The further you move into the interior of the Antarctic, the more dominant the ice and the more extraterrestrial the surroundings become. An ordinary person would say there is nothing there, and I suppose to some extent they'd be right. Even the seasoned scientists who have spent years employed in the field characterise it as weird. I've always seen Antarctic scientists as our age's equivalent to the early explorers. It's just that rather than risking life and limb to find treasured minerals or spices, we struggle to discover precious data. Our discoveries might fetch less on the market, but their significance is just as valuable. The only sad thing about Antarctic exploration is that, unlike Arctic missions, we don't have any way of connecting with the indigenous peoples, who can often help explorers by guiding or translating or simply having a first-hand knowledge of the area. In fact, in the Antarctic, there is absolutely no way to immerse into another universe. I always think about how Robert Peary reached the North Pole in 1909. Rather than travelling as an isolated group, separate from those who had inhabited the area for centuries, he rode on sledges that were pulled by native dogs and guided by locals from the Inuit tribes. Compare this to Robert Scott's party to the South Pole 4 years later, who tried to pull their own sledges without any help and died in the process. The camp at Dome C was temporary. How could it be otherwise? Just getting here was hard enough. I remember a funny situation 3 years ago when an exploratory flight around the area had to be cancelled after the plane's wing cracked as it was taxiing down the runway. Then, when another ski-equipped plane was sent to remove the crew, it succumbed to the same problem when one of the jet bottles broke loose on takeoff, ripped down the side of the aircraft, and left a hole in that plane's wing. Finally, a third flight managed to rescue the stranded crewman the next day. I think there were a dozen of us that spent time at the camp that year. The French, the American teams, a cook, a couple of Navy mechanics. But there wasn't much that could be considered a society. Just as there wasn't anything that could be considered a built camp as such. There wasn't even a common dining room. In fact, there was no collective experience at all. Nothing that anyone had to do at any one time. In fact, if you discount the longing to go home or the desire for a nice long bath, then the movies that arrived with the resupply flights were the only thing that brought us all together. Ironically though, it was the only thing that really caused us to fall out too. As often there were heated arguments over what to watch first. In fact, I remember once feeling so tired of the bickering that I ended up asking people if they had any books to read instead, which didn't go down very well. I think people on the outside assumed we rejoiced in the absence of rules at the camp. But I found that freedom is relative. At Dome C, there was nothing to rebel against. Yes, you could do whatever you wanted, but the catch was, well, there was almost nothing worth doing. People survived by leaving. No one lived at Dome Sea. And those who did stay long sank into the various pathologies. I suffered from insomnia, a 24-hour cycle of wakening followed by 12 hours of sleep. The main problem was that you slowed down. With very little, in fact, I would say almost entirely nothing to stimulate you, there was no reason to be busy. Stay for long, and a state of semi-hibernation set in. Stay too long, and people dissolved into a psychic whiteout. I used to think a lot about the experiment the American explorer Richard Byrd attempted in 1934 when he tried to live alone for a winter. At first he became hallucinatory, but then things really took a turn for the worse when he fell unconscious and nearly slipped into a coma. The official explanation was carbon monoxide poisoning from a faulty stove, but I personally believe that the truth might be that Byrd suffered at the hands of an environment that was much too simplified. When I returned home, I craved contrasts, and even today I rejoice in the most mundane of sensations. I guess the Antarctic never leaves you.
You have 15 seconds to check your answers. Now you will hear the text again.
I'd never intended to go to the end of nowhere. I guess, even by Antarctic standards, the ice exploration camp that is known as Dome Sea was at the back of beyond. Standing on about 3,500 meters of ice, it has the pleasure of being one of the coldest places on Earth. And when I say cold, I mean cold. The average daily temperature is minus 50. But as Dome Sea is the heart of the Antarctic, I knew I'd end up there one day. After a trip to the National Science Foundation, where I pleaded my case to get funding, and then a layover at the pole, where I had a couple of days to get used to the high elevation, I arrived at Dome Sea on New Year's Eve, 1981. The further you move into the interior of the Antarctic, the more dominant the ice and the more extraterrestrial the surroundings become. An ordinary person would say there is nothing there, and I suppose to some extent they'd be right. Even the seasoned scientists who have spent years employed in the field characterize it as weird. I've always seen Antarctic scientists as our age's equivalent to the early explorers. It's just that rather than risking life and limb to find treasured minerals or spices, we struggle to discover precious data. Our discoveries might fetch less on the market, but their significance is just as valuable. The only sad thing about Antarctic exploration is that, unlike Arctic missions, we don't have any way of connecting with the indigenous peoples, who can often help explorers by guiding or translating or simply having a first-hand knowledge of the area. In fact, in the Antarctic, there is absolutely no way to immerse into another universe. I always think about how Robert Peary reached the North Pole in 1909. Rather than travelling as an isolated group, separate from those who had inhabited the area for centuries, he rode on sledges that were pulled by native dogs and guided by locals from the Inuit tribes. Compare this to Robert Scott's party to the South Pole 4 years later, who tried to pull their own sledges without any help and died in the process. The camp at Dome Sea was temporary. How could it be otherwise? Just getting here was hard enough. I remember a funny situation 3 years ago when an exploratory flight around the area had to be cancelled after the plane's wing cracked as it was taxiing down the runway. Then, when another ski-equipped plane was sent to remove the crew, it succumbed to the same problem when one of the jet bottles broke loose on takeoff, ripped down the side of the aircraft, and left a hole in that plane's wing. Finally, a third flight managed to rescue the stranded crewman the next day. I think there were a dozen of us that spent time at the camp that year. The French, the American teams, a cook, a couple of Navy mechanics. But there wasn't much that could be considered a society. Just as there wasn't anything that could be considered a built camp as such. There wasn't even a common dining room. In fact, there was no collective experience at all. Nothing that anyone had to do at any one time. In fact, if you discount the longing to go home or the desire for a nice long bath, then the movies that arrived with the resupply flights were the only thing that brought us all together. Ironically, though, it was the only thing that really caused us to fall out, too. As often there were heated arguments over what to watch first. In fact, I remember once feeling so tired of the bickering that I ended up asking people if they had any books to read instead, which didn't go down very well. I think people on the outside assumed we rejoiced in the absence of rules at the camp. But I found that freedom is relative. At Dome C, there was nothing to rebel against. Yes, you could do whatever you wanted, but the catch was, well, there was almost nothing worth doing. People survived by leaving. No one lived at Dome C. And those who did stay long sank into the various pathologies. I suffered from insomnia, a 24-hour cycle of wakening followed by 12 hours of sleep. The main problem was that you slowed down. With very little, in fact, I would say almost entirely nothing to stimulate you, there was no reason to be busy. Stay for long, and a state of semi-hibernation set in. Stay too long, and people dissolved into a psychic whiteout. I used to think a lot about the experiment the American explorer Richard Byrd attempted in 1934 when he tried to live alone for a winter. At first he became hallucinatory, but then things really took a turn for the worse when he fell unconscious and nearly slipped into a coma. The official explanation was carbon monoxide poisoning from a faulty stove, but I personally believe that the truth might be that Byrd suffered at the hands of an environment that was much too simplified. When I returned home, I craved contrasts, and even today I rejoice in the most mundane of sensations. I guess the Antarctic never leaves you.
You have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the task.